Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to continue on with our, we're going to finish our study today about duty. I appreciate Don leading that scripture, Luke 17:10. We've used that the last 3 weeks for our series on duty. The first week we looked at, it was our duty, and when we say duty, it's an obligation. It's not a choice. It's not something that we can negotiate or hold out for a better deal or something like that. It is our obligation. It is our responsibility. And when Jesus said, you know, when you've done all those things that I have commanded, say, I have done what was our duty to do. And instead of, oh, look, Jesus, what all I've done. I've done this, I've done that. Well, you know what? You should have been doing that. Because God told us to. And our first week, we looked at one of our duties was to grow and mature. And I put this out there that if we're not growing and maturing, we're becoming stagnant. And we don't have a choice. We have to grow. Now, some are going to grow faster than others. Some are going to put more effort into it than others. But it is our duty not to stay in the same spot. That we have to grow. And never develop that attitude, I've arrived. Because we haven't. Last week, we looked that it's our duty to worship God. It is our, not only our duty, but it's our privilege to be able to come together as a body. And it is our duty. It is our obligation. And we focused last week on the who, what, when, where, why of worshiping God. That we have to worship in the proper way with the proper attitude. You know, the whens, the hows, and all of that. Today we're going to finish up looking that it's our duty to spread the Word of God. It's not a secret. It's not something that once we get it, we have to sequester it away and not let anybody else have it. That we should want to share it. I love, years ago, Daryl made a statement, we should be bringing as many people with us to heaven as we can. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know how he said it. I probably said it more eloquently than he did, and that was bad. But and that's the idea. We want to drag as many people with us to heaven as we can. And we want, our family, our friends, and others. Jesus did that very thing. We see Paul doing the very thing. We see Peter doing the very thing. And we want to share that. We've got, if we made a physical list, I'm sure it would take us time of the people we would like to influence and bring to heaven. It's probably if we literally sat down with a piece of paper, we would just stay there and keep at, well, I would like to influence this person and that person. And it just, but we probably start with the ones we love the most, our family. I don't mean this in any bad way. And luckily, we don't have to make a choice. But more than anything, other than myself, which we should want ourselves to go to heaven, I want my family to go to heaven. And I don't mean that I don't want other people, my friends or others. But if I had to choose, number one, I want those people I love the most. And our friends. I'll tell you, This is kind of a whole separate sermon, which is down the road. But we don't have any choice about our family. We love them because they're our family. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we love them because they, you know, they're our family. But our friends, we choose our friends. We choose them, and they have chosen us. I want them to be saved. And then others. The people that we run into at the grocery store, the people that we meet at, you know, that are at work, that we just kind of pass at work. Wouldn't it be nice to have an influence on them to be able to be saved also? Spreading the word of God, somebody shared it with us. Probably more than one. Very rarely does somebody only have one influence on them from the beginning of hearing God's word all the way through to being saved. Amen. Very rarely is it just one person. But wouldn't it be nice to be an influence on somebody to put their Lord on in baptism? To realize that they are saved a little bit due to your efforts. Like Paul said, you know, I planted Apollos water, but God caused the growth. In Matthew 28, in verses 19 and 20, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he's telling his apostles, the 11 that were left at the time, that he's giving them what we call the Great Commission. This is no less our commandments as it was theirs. Now, when we study the Bible, we need to put things in context. We need to understand who was being talked to, the setting, the situation. There are some situations, and I've used this example before, when God talked to Noah about building an ark, that's not universal. He was talking to Noah specifically. He's not telling Tracy to go build an ark and to start gathering up animals. But we can learn an application of obedience. We can learn the application of listening to God and doing it the way He said. Amen. To apply to us. Just because, and I've heard, this is the sad thing, I've heard people say, well, he was talking just to the apostles. Jesus was talking to the apostles, but it's no less important to us. If Jesus was only meaning for the apostles to spread the word of God, it would have ended when the people they spread it to died. Amen. The church would have died. Nobody else would have heard the message of God, the words of Jesus. It's been spread for 2,000 years. Somebody spread it to you.
That's right.
And we need to spread it to somebody else. Jesus says, go therefore. That's an action. It's a command. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That is our commandment as much as it was to Peter and John and the rest of them. It's to us. And when he says go from there. Go from there. We have many people that go to other lands. We help support Malcolm Parsley in South Korea. We help support David Marub in Kenya. We help with missionary efforts in Mexico. But if everybody went someplace, who'd mind the store here? Going means to go from here and preach the word. You don't necessarily have to go to another country. You don't necessarily have to go overseas to someplace to teach others. Jesus, go from here and share with others. Our family. We definitely want our family to be raised with the teachings of Jesus. Andrew and Peter give a good example. In John 1, Andrew was with John the Baptist. And I think it was verse 29 where John had said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And just a little bit later, here in verse 41, after finding this information out, Andrew says he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. The first person he wanted to share that good news with was his brother. They had been looking for him together. They had been raised with that expectation of the Messiah coming. And when Andrew found out through John the Baptist, that this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, I gotta go get my brother. I've got to share this with my brother. You look at the influence of family on Timothy. Being raised in a godly household. Now there's no doubt Paul took a young man and instilled even more in him. But the foundation was there. Yes. The foundation was there in Timothy before Paul even showed up on the scene. And when Paul is writing, and this is accepted as the last letter Paul ever wrote before he was killed. And he's writing it to Timothy, and he said in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is in you also." They laid that foundation that Paul will build upon. And Timothy will go on to be a tremendous, strong, faithful Christian on past Paul. But the foundation from a mother and a grandmother. And that says something to us. Says something to us today. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul is telling the Christians in Ephesus that, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." We as parents need to do this. And even though it says, "And you fathers," it doesn't mean mothers are allowed to bring wrath to the children, you know, but parents, we need to bring our children up in that way. Not in a way, do as I say, not as I do. They should be hearing the lessons of God from us and seeing the lessons in our lives. When we train them, it's an ongoing process. It's not a teaching them once and, "Well, I showed you how to ride a bike. You get on, you pedal and you steer. They fall down, you get them back up, keep going." You train them and they learn it. And it's a process of training them, and they see how mom and dad reacts. They see how to study the Bible. They learn how to pray. They learn. And these people that want to, well, that's what we got a preacher for. That's why we pay a preacher. If the only word of God people are getting is on a Sunday morning, you're starving yourselves to death. And hopefully the children are getting, and yourselves, but hopefully the children and your family, your loved ones, are getting the Word of God regularly on a daily basis rather than just Sunday mornings. Our friends. We want to share the gospel with our friends. Kind of like Andrew and Peter, Philip and Nathaniel did the same thing. John 1:45, just a few verses after Andrew and Peter, we see Philip found Nathaniel and said to him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found the Messiah." It was important to them. And one of them found it. It was just, oh, I found this good little nugget of information that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to share it with others. First thing we see them doing is sharing it. This is the same Philip that that shared with others, a person they didn't even know in Acts 8. This is the same Philip that not only shared it with his friend Nathaniel, but with a total stranger. In Acts 8, he's going to, now granted, he had a little bit of help with the Holy Spirit, but as he's going down the road, he has an encounter with the eunuch. The eunuch is studying. He sees there's an opportunity here. He's studying the scriptures. And he breaks the ice. Do you understand what you're reading? And that started the whole thing. And as he's invited to study with the eunuch, he started where he was. He was reading in Isaiah. He was reading in Isaiah 53, and he started there where he was and preached Jesus to him. We're in that situation every day that we leave our house. We don't even have to leave the house. Today with internet and all that stuff and phones and so forth, we don't even have to leave the house to share the gospel. But every day we wake up, we're going to encounter opportunities to share the gospel with a total stranger. And it would wind up resulting in the man being baptized, being saved. Those of you that were here last week, what a wonderful thing to have witnessed Carla and Carlos being baptized. You know, they've had influence from many people, their family, others, preachers, things like that, that they've encountered over the years. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." That's one verse, and it says an awful lot. To always be ready, to have, whenever we have that opportunity, when somebody asks us, "Why are you like the way you are? Things are falling all apart around you." Or, "Why do you pray before your meals? How can you maintain such a positive attitude and not lash back when so-and-so came at you at work the other day and was just, you should have just cut them off at the, you know, at the socks. Well, be ready to give a defense. Well, I'm a Christian. It wouldn't have been right. And you can teach people. And Peter said, be ready to everyone to answer, to be able to give that answer of that hope that is in you. We have to be, one, we have to be prepared for it. We have to keep our eyes open for those opportunities and be willing to do it. And how we do, have another sermon coming up called The Delivery. We see the delivery right there with meekness and fear. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to use the Bible as a sledgehammer pounding it over people's heads. You deliver it with meekness and fear. We're going to end up the last scripture, 2 Timothy 4:2. This same last letter that Paul wrote. Later in the letter, he's telling Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. He could have ended it right there. Just preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. This is an extremely convenient time right now to preach the word of God. When people are here at worship expecting to hear the word of God, we need to preach the word when it's not as convenient, when those opportunities present themselves, like Philip and the eunuch, out of the blue. And he goes on to say, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. We need to be able to do it all. We need to be able to teach people. We need to be able to correct people when they are wrong. And of course, we see a little bit more with how. With long-suffering and teaching. I hope these last 3 weeks have been beneficial to you. It has to me. It's reinforced to me my duty as a Christian. Not just my duty as a preacher, my duty as a Christian to grow and mature. If I stay where I'm at, I become stagnant. I've got to keep digging. I've got to grow. I've got to mature in the Word. It is our duty to worship God, to come together as a body, to assemble together and worship God properly in the way He prescribed, when He prescribed, how He prescribed, and all of that. I've often wondered, what would somebody do if they showed up and there was a sign on the door, closed due to lack of interest? Show up on a Sunday night. Nobody's interested. Closed. That's what God, you know, I'm waiting for people to worship me. He seeks such to worship Him. And as we've looked today, it's our duty to spread the word of God. As we go into this week, we're going to have opportunities. We're probably going to have opportunities later today. Not just tomorrow when we go to work. We'll probably have opportunities today to spread the word of God with the way we behave. Spread the word of God with how we conduct ourselves. With the words we use. The attitude we use, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully this has been as beneficial to you as it's been to me. Again, I've said it many times, I know there's always one person that will benefit from a sermon, me. So hopefully a few others, but I know there's one person. That hasn't been a waste of time because I've benefited. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to to close an assembly of the saints coming together without offering the opportunity. If you need prayers, if you need to repent, I urge you, God urges you, that if there is sin in your life keeping you from being the Christian you should be, repent. Repent. Don't let another moment go by. If it's a private sin between you and God, repent privately in your seat with you and God. If it's a public sin that involved other people and so forth, by all means, repent publicly. Make amends with that individual. Make amends to God. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you're not baptized, you're not a member of the Lord's church. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism and to be saved and wash away your sins, we can accommodate you. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known as we stand and sing.